Jesus Christ. Everybody in here, does that help you to know that you are holy right now? You are holy. You are accepted. You are pure. You are faultless in His sight. Man, that ought to encourage all of us. That ought to stir us up to think, this is how God sees us. And then in verse 14, it goes on to say, for by a single offering, one offering, Jesus isn't going to come back and do this again. He did it one time and once was enough. It wasn't the death of another man for a man. If that were the case, only one person. You could die for one person. But this was God Himself that died on behalf of mankind. His blood was enough. So verse 14, it says, by a single offering He has forever completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy. You're cleansed right now. You will never get any more cleansed than you are right now. You've been made holy, you are cleansed, and you are perfect and faultless in His sight. You know what? Think about this right now. Avril, that's Grandma. Some of us might get to see Avril run through the church, maybe get in the bathroom, get all the stuff out of the little basket, make a big mess. Not that you would ever do that, Avril. Throw everything everywhere. Take the toilet paper roll and just roll it all over the bathroom and, you know, make a big mess of something. Grandma would come in there and go, that's my baby, girls. Stay away from her. You might get onto her. But all the rest of us would be going, did you see Avril? Can you believe what she did in that bathroom? You see what I'm saying? That's what the parent does for their child. And that's how God the Father sees all of us. Holy, faultless, and perfect in His sight. It will never change. Does that mean He's not aware of what we're doing? No, of course not. Does that mean He doesn't convict us of sin? Actually, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. But you are and always will be forever perfect in His sight. All right, so now I know this is a contradiction even in saying it this way, but I want to ask the question, do we have a part in the finished work? Yes, we do. If Jesus paid it all, that's funny to say, right? Because you're just saying He paid it all, but at the same time going, do we have a part to play if the price has already been paid? We do. Okay, so now go back over to Leviticus chapter 6, and I'm actually going to read this one section to you in the NIV because y'all know I use the Amplified and it's got like twice as many words, so I'd probably lose you in there somewhere. So I'm going to read this to you, Leviticus chapter 6, just verses 9 to 13. I'm going to read it in the NIV, and then we'll talk about that a bit. Okay, here we go. Give Aaron and his sons this command. These are the regulations for the burnt offering. The burnt offering is to remain on the altar hearth throughout the night till morning. One time, the fire must be kept burning on the altar. The priest shall then put on his linen clothes with linen undergarments next to his body and shall remove the ashes of the burnt offering that the fire has consumed on the altar and place them beside the altar. Then he is to take off these clothes and put on others and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. Two times. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning three times on the altar, continuously. It must not go out. You heard that, right? Not once, not twice, but three times he said, the fire must be kept burning. But here's the interesting thing. He never said, start the fire. Just keep it going. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, so now look at this. This is Leviticus chapter 9. Excuse me. Look at verses 23 and 24. All right, it says, Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. If you go back in this chapter in verse 6, it says, prior to the instructions on how to make this sacrifice, it says, this is the thing which the Lord commands you to do, and the glory will appear. So they did all these things, and here we are, verse 23, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. I don't know why I have a little tickle in my throat. I'm going to get a cough drop. All right, and so then verse 24, it says, Then there came a fire from the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And when the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their face. So right here, Aaron had been ordained as high priest. So if you go back and read the whole chapter, they were given the instructions to make the offering. This was the very first offering. And what happened was the fire of God started and consumed the offering. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So, and then they got to see this. They watched this happen. How I relate that into the New Testament is we get born again. When we get born again, do we start the fire? We don't, right? We can't save ourselves. He puts it on the inside. He starts the fire. But it's not a contradiction, but it sounds like it. Even though it is a finished work, we still are responsible to keep the fire burning. So what we're going to look at today is ways that we can keep the fire burning. But first, I want to look at these first two verses in chapter 10. So here was the first fire. God started the fire. It burnt up the sacrifice. But then it goes right into verse 10. It says, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and put incense on it and offered strange and unholy fire before the Lord as he had not commanded them. And there came forth fire from before the Lord, and it killed them, and they died. Now, that's a little scary, right? Because you think, wait a second, what did we do wrong? What do you think went wrong? What could strange fire be? You know, it doesn't say, Janet, but I think that is what happened. I think that they started their own fire. I think that's what is meant by strange fire. Because God said, I start fires. You keep them burning. So when they made it up themselves, made up their own rules, decided this is how we're going to do it, they didn't live through that. Now, of course, we're New Testament believers, and aren't you thankful for mercy? We're not living at the same time. So I know I'm thankful for that. Yes. But in the Old Testament, there were laws. Yes, sir?
New King James says offered profane.
Interesting. Profane. Because, yeah, in the Amplified, it says strange. Mm-hmm. So profane would be what? I mean, speaking against.
Because they were going against what God had said.
Right. Yes.
To keep that fire going and only do these things. And they pull the fire off. They put incense on it, which made it a profane fire.
That's right. They decided to do it their way. And I know, again, we are living in the dispensation of grace. But a lot of times, even though we have a system that works, God's word, we do try to come up with our own ways of doing things, right? And I know we've said this countless times. No, it's not a formula, but it is a system. Yes. It is a system that works. When God says, I want you to do it this way, it's because he has set up a way that actually does keep us safe, that actually does provide for us, that actually does get us the things that we need and want from our salvation, but it's going to come by doing it his way. And the point has to be made, sometimes we think we can do this ourselves, and we can't. We cannot. Man, I'm telling you, if you could say have saved yourself, or how about your children? Wouldn't you do that? We can't do it. We don't have what it takes, but he does. He is the original fire starter. But it is up to us to keep that fire going. So now we're going to go here is we're going to start looking at ways that we both keep the fire lit and squelch the fire. Now, ultimately, we're going to get to 1 Thessalonians, and you probably know there's actually a verse in there that says, do not quench. So that's the place that we're headed. But I want to look at a few other things first. If you'll just flip over to Romans chapter 12. And this is definitely a way that you could say we squelch the fire, we put the fire out. Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies. Can all of you say and recognize, when we just went through this fast, part of a fast is just saying, I just give you this. As much of a mess as I think it might be at times, you can do something with this. So I'm going to dedicate this to you. It's wants, it's fleshly demands, and I'm going to shut those off and give you me. So this says, dedicate your bodies as a living sacrifice. When I think living, I think if you've ever been up on an altar, thankfully not physically, emotionally, mentally, I know we all have, but as a living sacrifice, don't you think you'd try to get off that altar? I know I would. I'd be like, no, I'm not ready for this. I don't want to do this. No. We are living sacrifices. So we're wiggling all over the place trying to get off that altar, trying to get off of, man, I just give all that I am and all that I have all the time to you, Lord. But it said that this is reasonable and pleasing to God, and it is actually spiritual worship. You know, we have different ideas of what it is to worship. Some people are very demonstrative in their worship. I love that. Some people are very private and quiet in their worship, and I love that too. This says right here, dedicating yourself is worship. Isn't that cool? So worship doesn't have to be defined as what we do Sunday mornings. It's all throughout every moment of every day. Giving yourself, your desires to God is worship. It's a form of worship. But here's where I'm going with this one. Do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after or adapted to its external, superficial customs. When I think of being conformed to this world, you remember playing with Play-Doh? Yes. And forming it into what you wanted it to look like? Okay, well, that's what being conformed to this world is. The world is trying to make you look like it. Right. And it is taking us and it is molding us into its image. It wants us to reflect it. And so we have a word from the Lord right here. Don't be conformed to this world. Step out of that. Just don't get in their hands, right? Because if you put yourself into the world's hands, it will form you. So get yourself out of its grip and be conformed. And it says the way we do that, by renewing your mind. And so here's my thought on a way that we can keep the fire lit, is just renewing our mind, being in God's word. And so you could say the opposite of that, the converse of a way to squelch the fire would be if you do not renew your mind. You know, we all know people that have been born again, but we don't necessarily see the fruit of that. And I'm not here to to judge anybody. I personally have people in my life that I love, and I absolutely believe they are born again with everything in me. But they don't have what I would call fruit because they've not renewed their mind. They receive Jesus as their Lord, but he doesn't affect their choices and their actions because they're not in here. They don't know what's part of the package deal. So I'm not going to come against them and go, well, you're not born again. That's not for me to say. If they made a genuine confession of faith, they are. But
isn't repentance part of that?
Turning around?
Yeah.
It is. But what if you never renewed your mind? You didn't even know. You never got into the Word.
No, but I mean, before you renew your mind, I'm part of...
Oh, being born again?
Christ.
You would hope so.
Yeah,
you would realize you're a sinner.
Right. That would lead you to the renewing of the mind.
I agree. I absolutely agree. But I do think that we have a world full of people that is not in church this morning because they just enjoy the things of the world.
Yeah.
But they're still believers. I know, and I know some of us struggle with that, but that's over my pay grade.
That's
definitely over my pay grade. I'm not going to...
Bear fruit in keeping with repentance.
Yes, that's right. He did.
There should be change.
There should be change.
Like you said, it's not up to us.
It's not, no, for sure. And aren't you glad that you're not the judge? Because if so, like in Galatians, it says, keep an attentive eye on yourself. So you got one finger pointing at them and you got the rest pointing back at you. So I'm not in the place to do that. But right here it does say the way that we won't quench the fire and that will actually keep the fire burning is by renewing our minds. That's getting in God's Word. I'm telling you, it is addictive. You can get in here and you can find out it's like this package deal and all these promises, and you think, why would I neglect renewing my mind to the things that God has taken care of and provided for me? His words are alive. They're sharper than any double-edged sword. You can wield them like a sword and hold it up in front of you like a shield. Put it on your head as if it were a helmet, and on your feet, and walk through troubled times. The Word is everything for us. But there are a lot of people out there that they just don't have their mind renewed, so they're not walking in the package deal, you could say.
Craig and I were talking about that this morning, and all the things, the more that I'm learning, and especially since Micker has come,
yes,
and has opened my understanding,
absolutely,
my eyes a little bit more. Even after, I told Craig, after 54 years of being a Christian, I'm so dumb.
No, I understand completely.
And I just, and like I've said before, it's like, this was right, and now it's not so much.
Mm-hmm.
This was wrong, but now it's not so much. And it's a constant.
Yes.
It's a constant struggle for me to figure out, knowing that God is not the author of confusion, how do I separate?
I hear you.
How do I understand? Eva, this is not what I'm saying. Even though everybody's saying this, that's not what I'm saying.
I know.
Listen,
you're right.
To me.
I don't think any of us in here would go, we've got this figured out. We're all where you're at, learning and growing. But just think about, that's how you learned your ABCs, right? It's repetition. And that is what it takes. It takes going over and over. I'm telling you, and I'm not against having fun and enjoying life, but we know a whole lot more about a whole lot of other things than we know about God's Word. And so we don't have that repetition in us, and so we don't know it like we should. And I'll say that for myself. I'll listen to things and I'll think, oh my gosh, I can't even connect the dots on that, you know, and it's probably a basic principle. But I'm telling you, like you said, Eva, we just don't quit. We just keep at it. We keep working at it. Renew your mind.
I think that's what, or in my case, this is where I feel God smiling on me. Yes, I've been 54 years a Christian, and yet I literally feel like I'm starting over. And my bottom line is, I do not want to be one of those that has said, have I not cast out demons in your name?
And I didn't know you. Yeah.
These good works in your name. And he say, sorry, I never knew you.
Yeah.
I got to know what that line is.
Right.
I got to know what that division is.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't find out for myself, but keep listening. I mean, I understand, because in many councils there's wisdom.
Yes.
I understand that. But I have got to figure it out between me and God.
Amen. That's right. It is personal, right? You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we get before him. But I think we also, at the same time, have to be careful that we don't flip over into, you know, you can get in either ditch, the condemnation ditch. I'm never going to be good enough.
Yeah.
We started with the verses where it said we're holy and perfect and faultless forever. So stay on the road. Stay in the middle. Stay on the road while we're trying to figure this out.
If you don't know the road to begin with,
that's true.
You have to
start over, yeah.
Reset your GPS.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing.
Sure.
When you've been that long in, and then all of a sudden you're thinking, well, have I been messed up all this time? Shut up, Tim.
As long as you don't know it, it doesn't hurt you.
All right. Well, let's. I understand what you're saying, but you're better than you think.
Yes.
You're better than you think.
You're all right.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
Yeah, you are. All right. James 2:16. So we're talking about quenching the fire, and we're also talking about how to fan the flame. So this is James 2:16. This works both ways. Or maybe it's 3:16. It's 3:16, forgive me. Okay. Wherever there is jealousy, contention, envy, and strife, there will be what? Who? Satan. And every evil work. How can you put out the fire? Does that mean that God is not there? Of course not. He's moved in. He's staying with us. It says nothing can take us from his hands. We've been stamped and sealed with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, you can squelch that fire by living in strife. Not just that, jealousy. There's no place for that in the kingdom of God. We don't compete, we complete. We work together as a body. But there's no faster way to invite the enemy in than when we just submit to this. I'm just going to give up and walk in jealousy. And I'm going to be mad at you because God let you do something that I wanted to do for the last 20 years. You know what I'm saying? And we can get into this, but we have to realize that is, when you say an open door to the enemy, let's just open all the doors, all the windows, let the mosquitoes and every roach and varmint come into this church and say, that's what it looks like. Just destroy us from the inside out. Envy, jealousy, and strife. He loves it. That is a way that we squelch that fire. So then we could say the opposite of that is true. We want everything that you have for us, God. We want to fan that flame. We want it to grow in us. So we're going to resist these things. And sometimes we got to call a spade a spade. I'm not the best at confrontation, but I'm not the worst either. Mm-mm. Can be done.
It was mighty quick.
I know. If I must, I will. But I thought about the lesson. Yes. I thought about the coexist sticker. Have y'all seen that coexist sticker? Yeah. And basically what it means is accept all these religions. Why would you want to exist with all that? That's what jealousy, envy, and strife. Why would we want to live in that?
One of those religions is what's trying to destroy Israel.
That's right. Right. That's right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. So we want to coexist with that. There's listen, you can't have them in the house together. You cannot.
But the reason that sticker exists is because nobody wants to confront it.
Stand up.
And how do we do that? You know, how
right
do we
here.
Do that?
You want to hear something?
Sure.
In Dearborn, Michigan, when we went on the mission trip, it's like 90% Muslim population.
Yep.
They run that place. Mm-hmm. They have no LGBT flags. They have nothing that resembles any, like if it's sinful, like they, because they stood up.
And you're saying the Muslims stood up.
The Muslims.
Right. Interesting, isn't it?
And they control the whole city.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's a good
No. But the principle right.
They stood up for the God that they believe.
Right.
Them.
Right. That's right. That's right. And that's a good point. That's a good point. But for us here, I mean, and we can do that in our church. We can come against jealousy. We can come against, I'm telling you, strife will wipe us out. We have to make a determined decision. Gossip, all that stuff. Those are killers to the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we got to watch out for that. That is a way that we, how about we go into the worship service this morning and we get in little cliques because we're all mad at each other. And then we want the Spirit of God to come into the service and in a mighty way and heal the sick. It's not going to happen. So who do we start with? Us. Let's just start with us. Because people are new in the faith and we want them to walk in a way that we're not willing as older folks to do ourselves. Let's just start with us. You know, I sing it, I know it's corny, but the Michael Jackson song, start with the man in the mirror, ask if you change his way, if the message could be any clearer, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Simple.
A lot of us are like that.
Right, that's right. Okay, Mark 7:8, another way we either fan the flame or put it out. You disregard and give up and ask to depart from you the commandment of God and cling to what?
Traditions
of men. Can you believe that our own traditions are a way of keeping God out of the church?
Yes.
Interesting. And I'm telling you, I came into church at a time when you're kind of told what to do. Nothing's wrong with that because I didn't know what to do, had nobody told me what to do. Except that you can get into ruts. And think this is the way you do it all the time. And,
hello.
And but you don't know, Eva. You don't know because you don't know because you don't know. So then when you realize, wait a second, this was never how God intended the church to be. Now we talk about what is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the ecclesia? As far as inside here, the purpose inside here is to train up the body to go do the work of the ministry. I understand that my part is in the church. But 99% of any church membership, 1% works in the church.
Right.
1%. I am part of that 1%. But if I talked to you all as if you were a part of the 1%, how would the 99% feel validated in what they were supposed to do? And I think that's been problematic in the church, is that we have elevated church leadership over the body. Believe me, I am honored. I love my job. With everything in me, I love my job. But I realize in talking to you guys, you're going to do the work of the ministry because you're the ones who are really on the battlefield. Traditions, the way we think it is supposed to be done, actually squelches the fire. But if we can break free of some of that. I love y'all coming in during the weekend. I know I've told y'all this. Praying and being in the sanctuary and doing what you do and being free here. I love that we are open more. I love that more is going on here. Because this should be... I told Micker this last week. When I got sober in 1993, the Creek Club where I got sober at was open 24/7. And thank God it was. Because that's where I was. Because I needed to be there that much. My view of church is, I don't know that we'll ever be open 24/7, but be here, be available, be open. Traditions and the ways that we think it's supposed to be, we're going to have to break out of some of that, all of it really, so that the Spirit of the Lord is able to do what He wants to do in the body, in the body, in the believers.
You've heard of the story about the ham.
Yes, go ahead and tell that.
No, you, well,
somebody tell us.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, somebody.
I don't remember how it started.
Okay, no, I don't remember either. But the idea is somebody bought a ham. They put it in the crock pot to cook it, but they cut off the ends of the ham.
Because it didn't fit.
And when asked, why would you waste that much of a ham? The person said, well, that's how my mom cooked it. And that's great. That's sweet that you follow after your mom. But the point was, you just threw away half a ham. Because that's what you saw done.
Because it's
it's a tradition. That's right. So we can get stuck in traditions. Okay, so now look at this one. This is 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to do 16 through 20. All right. Be happy in your faith. Rejoice always. So what is a place that we can squelch the fire or that we can fan the flame is by rejoicing. And that alone is a topic because most people think that you rejoice if you're happy. And I get it. There is a joy that comes, a happiness that rises up when something good happens. You know, your kids do well, your home life is going well, you got a new job, you have the money to pay your bills, all that stuff is good. But this isn't talking, that's not what rejoicing is. Rejoicing is you're just rejoicing that you have the Lord as your Savior. That you can rejoice in that always, no matter what is going on. You can, you know, I remember when, especially being a praise and worship leader, and especially starting out, if something went wrong, I would kind of have that thought, I am not worthy to do this. And I can still have that come across, you know, teaching or whatever. You can think, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to do this. I'm such a mess myself. But when we get up there to worship God, it's not because we're so great. Our focus is on He's so great. That's why we can rejoice always. Even if we made a big mess of things yesterday or this morning, did something wrong today, we can still stand before the presence of God and rejoice in Him, our Savior, and show Him that. Remember, that's what it said in Romans, was reasonable worship. Just dedicating your body. Look, I'm just going to give you this time, God. I'm just going to get Him there. I'm just going to raise my hands. I'm just going to raise my voice. I'm just going to clap. I'm going to stomp my feet. I'm going to twirl around the room, whatever He leads you to do. Or I'm going to sit there quietly, whatever. Rejoicing always, always is a way that we fan the flame. Do you need a fan?
Fan the flame.
You need a fan. Yeah, I get it. Okay, verse 17, rejoice always, be unceasing in prayer. This is another way that we either fan the flame or squelch it. Unceasing in prayer. Can you actually, and just be realistic, are you actually praying all the time?
No.
You are not.
Oh, no.
So how can this verse say be unceasing in prayer? I think It's keeping the dialogue open. I think it is communication. Prayer can be many things. It can be on your face. It can be asking. It can be praising. It can be petitions, requests, all these different ways that we think of prayer. But ultimately, all that boils down to is a conversation. You can keep the conversation going. Just keep the conversation going. Just keep talking. God, I'm not sure if this is what you want me to do. If it's not what you want me to do, please move in my heart to not head that direction. I'm washing the dishes right now. I really can't stand washing the dishes. My hands are so dry. I really need some lotion. But I know that you love me and things are all going to be okay. And I got more laundry to do, but that's fine. I appreciate having clothes. You see what I'm saying? That's how you just keep the conversation going.
But it's also shutting up and listening.
It is. You're absolutely right.
You be ready to hear.
That's right. That's good, Tim. That is good.
He'll start the conversation,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he will. And I like how we're doing that in, or that day that we did the prayer, where we did waiting on the Lord for an hour and then praising for an hour. That was, I admit, I fell asleep three times.
I was going to agree with Tim that meditating.
Mm-hmm. It is. Absolutely. That's right.
You're speaking him to in your mind.
Yeah.
Not maybe verbally.
That's right. Because if you're always in charge of the conversation, you're not going to hear it. Just like any humans, right? You want to hear what the other person has to say.
I'm thinking, and of course, this may just be what we're, well, no doubt, working on me about. We make prayer a laundry list.
Yeah.
Of what he can do for us.
Right.
When if we put the attention where it's supposed to be, it's strictly about him.
Yeah.
And then, like the word says, whatever we ask for in private, he will reward
us. That's openly. Right. That's right.
So, you know, me, I got to get back to never mind that I need rent money. Never mind. I mean, he knows all of that.
Sure.
But, you know, just be thankful that I have.
Sure.
I get in the shower, and I told my daughter the other day, I said, I literally thank him every time I get in the shower, the hot water.
Amen, that's great. And for water.
That flushes.
That's right. Yeah.
I've had it where we didn't.
That's right. So, that's right. That's good.
And being able to.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Okay, so let's look at this. Verse 18, thank God in all circumstances, being thankful. Again, a whole nother topic by itself. Eva just said it. Recognizing all that we already have, that's a way that you fan the flame. That's also a way that you squelch the fire, is just being unappreciative, you know. Think about it with your own children. I know we would give them everything that we could, but there is a time that it's a lot easier to say no, and it's when they're unappreciative. And then you're like, nah. Maybe later. You know, it's just an easier transition. But look at, this is really where we're going. Verse 19, after all of that, it says, do not quench the spirit. All these things, being thankful or not, praying, recognizing all that God is doing in us, being rejoicing in our faith. These are all things that fan the flame. When we do the opposite of that, it quenches the spirit. But then look at this one. The next verse, it says, do not spurn the gifts. That is another way to quench the flame. And I'm telling you, we do it all the time. I want to encourage you, as we close up in here, and we're going to pray before we go. When we step into the worship service, welcome the gifts of the Spirit. We just read a command in God's Word. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not. Now, it goes on. You have to read the rest in ways that we test it, because not everything is of God. But we should have cultivated by now a safe place to practice and screw up. So it's okay to mess up. It's okay to give a word and think, I'm not sure. It's okay to go over somebody moved by compassion and you gave it as a thus said the Lord, because we're going to mess up in that. But the way that we get stronger, just like the gym, when you go to the gym, you start with a 5-pound weight, then you go to 10, 15, whatever. You practice. We just read a command that a way to squelch him is to shut down the move of the Spirit. Be a part of it. Welcome it. I encourage you, if you feel like God is using you to speak to somebody, if he's using you to give some kind of word or a song or a poem, I'm still believing somebody's going to break out and rap. Don't get mad. It'll be okay. It's going to be okay. Because those traditions that it's not okay need to go. Yes. It needs to go. I was at camp and I saw the kids, and on the fly, they came up with these rap songs and they were so good. And I thought, why don't we have Christian rappers? How many young people would be pulled in if we didn't say, I hate rap? Let them be them. Let's welcome them to be them. Yeah, that's good.
I heard Perry Stone say one time several years ago, he said, I wonder where the church would be if we had embraced television and taken it in a godly direction, mm-hmm. rather than, the world taking it their way.
Right.
He said it could have revolutionized.
Oh, for sure. I was watching Chris Reed. I don't know if you know who he is, but he took over the Morningstar ministry, Rick Joyner. Rick Joyner is still there, but he's more in the apostolic position now. And so Chris is the head of the ministry. And I rarely watch him. I usually just listen to the videos, but I happen to be watching this one. And Chris turned over and he was given a word to somebody. And I just noted that on the side where, so he was speaking up here, and on the side, kind of like, I guess, the side of the church, really, where the pews were or chairs, they had several artists who were painting during the service. And I thought, well, now isn't that cool? Who would have thought that during the service, they're allowing them to express themselves through art? How about...
We did.
How about dance? Yes. Get up there and dance. Can you dance well? Does it matter? Get a flag. It's all right. If it's unto him, that's where our hearts need to be. Is God, I just want to bring you glory. It may not look good, but it's for you. And you see my heart. So, Father, we just thank you. We do not want to be people that spurn the gifts, that shut down the show, so to speak. We want to fan the flame. We want to keep the fire going like you commanded them to in Leviticus. And Father, show us how to do that as we transition this morning into the next part of our service. I just speak a blessing over every angle over it, over every song sung, over every musician, over Pastor Micker as he brings the word, over all of those that are getting baptized today, over every person that comes into the service, that they feel an experience with you, that they recognize you are there. You're always there, but that it is a tangible presence this morning as we yield ourselves to the Spirit and we allow you to flow. Holy Spirit, we love you and we welcome you, and we pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you.